Sports Radio 929 The Game. Thanks for tuning in here. Another edition of Off the Woodwork. I'm Craig Carlos Valentino, a.k.a. CCV, with my man Jared Smith. What up, Jay?
You sound like you almost forgot your name.
I kind of, because I have the three of them. So it's so tough, and like you get called Carlos all the time here.
It's just easier to call you CCV, because otherwise it takes 5 minutes to get your, it's like speaking int speak in like a Lord of the Rings movie. It takes all day to get your name out.
Well, it does suck to sue my name, because think of it as a kid trying to write all that. Oh, I had to have two sheets of paper to write my name as a kid. So yeah, that Mexican-Italian part, yeah, I was not so much of a fan when I was little.
On the other hand, if you had to write your name more than once, man, your word count was up.
Yeah, there you go. True that. Make this 500 words. Well, I got 300 with my name. So.
Yeah, there you go.
But like I said, we definitely got a lot to get to today. Was going to talk definitely, you know, can't have a segment without Barco Watch or update on that. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Thought that I made some remarks to a Peruvian radio station down there. It was a couple of really good things. I definitely wanted to dive in and get Jared's take on that as well. And then you got some news out of the Atlanta United 2. Got a new coach. Got a schedule. So we'll definitely jump into that as well. And then there's some soccer news around the world. But of course, can't start it, have to start it, must start it with our update on the Barco Watch day 300, it seems. Is it done? Is it finally done? We keep hearing conflicting reports. What say you, Jared Smith?
It's done. Barco's coming to Atlanta. The telenovela has entered the series finale. Everyone's really excited. We'll get a behind the scenes later and probably like a tell-all. Find out that, not unlike Friends, somebody was probably on drugs for half the season.
Right. VH1, where are they now?
Yeah, he's like, I don't remember half of that negotiation. Is done. At this point, as you teased, I mean, talking on Peruvian radio, Ezekiel is signing the paperwork. We keep working on new idea of getting young talent to MLS instead of players in the later stages of their careers. Yeah, the first part of that, he's coming. And at this point, you've had it confirmed by multiple sources that Ezekiel Barco is coming to Atlanta. That's all said and done. Everything's been agreed to. Independiente already said goodbye. Atlanta's just got to, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's, make sure everything transfers according with the visas and everything. It's a thing of an international transfer.
And I think that's the most important thing. It's tough for new fans because you think of all the other sports. It's like, all right, you know, when you make an announcement, usually they're there a day later, got a press conference stuff. When you get players from other countries, you got visa issues, you got all these different things and worry how that's going to affect your team. So there's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through to get this done. But it looks like, you know, glass half full that we're finally at the penultimate episode of this telenovela and hopefully get a new one.
And it's a perfect time because Independiente is getting back into their preseason. They're already underway. They've got the Copa Libertadores coming up, which is the biggest competition in South America. What they won, the Copa Sudamericana, was the second biggest competition. Now they are in the biggest show they can be in. And I believe the winner of that goes on to the Club World Cup, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. They are going to have to put together parts of that roster to fill in what they lost with Barco. And now they've got the money to do that. Bejushi was a name that was linked there. I'm not sure who else they'll end up going after. But they've got the money now to build to fix that hole because they needed to get it done. Atlanta's got time now because training camp hasn't started yet for Atlanta. You've got the Super Draft tomorrow afternoon. This is being recorded on Thursday for posterity. That'll be Friday. So if you're listening to this Friday, hey, the Super Draft's coming up. You should probably check that out.
Right. And I definitely have some news when he talks about our world soccer when it comes to the actual Super Draft that's coming up here on Friday. You kind of hinted at a little bit about Atlanta's training, what they got coming up here pretty soon. You got first preseason matches that are like almost less than a month away. Will this whole hold up with visas and things like this, will it affect his time to be able to get out there and play with the guys and kind of get on the same page?
I don't think so. They're going to be training, if I'm not mistaken, over off Franklin Road at the training facility because you have one of the best in the world. You don't, yes, have to go to Bradenton this time.
Yes.
Granted, you know, you can get used to the nice cold weather we're having this wonderful,
lovely,
winter.
Lovely.
This wonderful winter that everyone signed up for. Julian Gressel seemed nonplussed about it on Twitter. It's like, you know, I didn't come to, you know, like, I grew up in Germany. I went to Germany. I grew up in Germany. I went to Providence, and now you brought me to Atlanta, and I can't escape the snow. It's did not sign up for this.
Yeah, but, like, he's the one bringing it with him.
Yeah, maybe he is. So, daggum White Walker.
I don't think
this affects his training. I think he jumps right in. Last year, Carlos Carmona and Joseph Martinez came in right at the end, and
that
they slotted in. I think he'll be fine getting in, and he's the quality of talent. I don't think you have to worry too much. There's going to be some times where you're going to want to get that chemistry in line. You have a preseason tournament, and before that, a preseason game, which we'll go over in a minute because everyone is going to be there.
Everybody seems like except for us, but we'll find a way. Well, I was bad for me.
I just follow Craig around, and I get anywhere I need to go.
Well, true that. Like I say, you get in, I'll get you on the field. That's how we roll. We'll find a way to be front row.
88th minute. Sir, you're not supposed to be here.
Like, you're so right, but it's only 3 minutes left, so we're good.
So we're just going to finish out.
So, but okay, so And that was one of the concerns I had going into this, like I said, because we saw how at the beginning of the season it was really tough, especially for the defense to kind of gel that back four, to kind of get on the same page, to realize, I mean, you had, you know, a brand new keeper behind you. So it just seemed like at times they were still trying to figure out where each other would be. And so I was worried about that with the offense, because we've always talked about this offense and it's going to be this high powered offense. But like we saw with the Falcons this year, sometimes if one thing's just out of place, it can stall out the offense. And that, you know, I don't want to see another Atlanta team that happened to.
I think they've put so much forward, though, on the offensive side when you brought in Darlington Nagbe to be another focal point for that offense. And actually, in his case, not even a focal point. He's going to be a tertiary player, if that high. But you've brought in more offensive firepower, and I think it's going to be fine in the long run. He'll get in. He'll train with the team. That won't be a problem. I don't suspect that there will be problems in, as far as, you know, coming to town and just getting used to culture. You've got Argentines on this team. You have other South American cultures represented on this team who can step in and communicate, and not just communicate in the sense of language, but communicate culturally.
You can
and
relate.
Be able to assimilate.
Be able to relate to a kid.
And, like, and sympathize and empathize. 18-year-old
kid can barely watch an R-rated movie. I mean, you know, 50 Shades is coming out in a month when he gets here, and you can barely go see it. So you think about a young guy coming to a country like this, it's definitely going to take him a little bit of time to kind of get his bearings, understand what's going on, understanding, hey, what to do, what not to do, how being a professional down there is different than being a professional up here in the States. And so, you know, there's definitely going to be a lot of change. And that's why I'm looking forward to this to getting done the sooner the better, so then he can get assimilated that way. You'd mentioned a little bit about Tata's, one of his quotes he had mentioned down there on the Peruvian radio station. He also had another one that I really had two comments in there to kind of maybe think about something. He said, it makes me laugh when people say that it's a step back to come to the MLS. When Almiron goes to Europe, people will realize that there was no wrong for him coming here. Barcelona paid what they paid for players in China. The player quality is all that matters. I agree with what he's saying on looking at the league as a whole. This isn't just taking a step backwards. This is a real place that you can establish yourself and go on to do bigger and better things. So I like what he's saying there. But then he's also pretty much telling us, hey, Miggy, get used to seeing him because he ain't going to be here much longer. I mean, with quotes like that, you see the talent. We've heard the phone calls, the rumors of, you know, with some of the offers that he was being offered during the offseason. Is Tata even giving us the heads up to let us know, hey, you guys are watching rare talent, because this rare talent is going to be gone really soon?
Oh, yeah, and we already knew that. Miggy's made it clear in the past he wants to go to Europe. Tata brought him here, and I wouldn't be shocked at all to find out that it was that blunt when he pitched the idea of Miguel Almiron to come to Atlanta was, come play for me in Atlanta.
I'll make you great, get you paid, get you
on the score. I'm going to make sure you get to Europe and get where you need to be going and where you want to go. That's a part of it. Like, everybody,
he went Calipari, but give me 1 year. Yeah. Come to Kentucky. I'll get you in the NBA draft after that.
Almiron, and I don't think Almiron's going to be a one and done. I think he's going to be a one and a half or two and done. If Almiron leaves in the summer, I'd be disappointed.
Yeah.
But you've already got Lucas Rodriguez sitting down there in South America on that contract where you've already put the money down and you can trigger the clause whenever you want to pull that trigger. I'm still of the opinion that is a move that was made in case Almiron leaves in the summer. And there's a good chance that because of the way the calendars sync up, there's a good chance you're going to get an offer from Europe for Almiron north of $20-25 million. And if it's north of $25 million,
yeah, it's been real. And like I said, the great thing about this team is you have a lot of plug-and-play guys that you can move over to fill spots to kind of keep this thing going. And so it's tough to replace a talent like Almiron. No one's saying those kind of guys grew on trees.
Oh, goodness,
I mean, that's the reason why people are willing to pay $25 million for him. But it also says that shows the depth of this team, that people know, hey, if Gressel needs to move over, if move Barco over, wherever it may be, that you have guys that are talented enough to be able to fill those shoes. So that's always a good thing as well. And I want to get back to the first quote that you had mentioned when he talked about when Tata had mentioned the idea of players in the final stages of their career. That's what MLS was known for. The Thierry Henry's of the world, the David Beckham's of the world, the guys that kind of tail end of their career wanted to come to the States to kind of show off, you know, people we have always been able to see. And now you finally get the chance to actually watch them play here in the States. Do you agree with him that the league is changing that? And is that a good thing? Because I can see it as a two-edged sword. And so I want to kind of go to get your opinion on. Do you think that the league is changing? And if so, is it a good thing?
It's not so much that the league is changing. The league has been changing. You had guys come in, and they were a little older. Guys like Ladero, like Diego Valeri, who won MVP. And Ladero being the MVP of the second half of last season when he dragged Seattle's lifeless body back to life through the playoffs and won a cup in one of the ugliest finals I've ever seen. Notwithstanding, they still got a star on that jersey. And Nicolas Ladero was very vital to that. So it's been happening. You've had guys coming in, but now it's getting more prevalent. You're getting bigger names. You're getting more explosive talent coming in. The point that I've been going over for the last week now, and it's becoming, and I know other people are making it as well, it's not just me. It's getting to the point in MLS, when you stand pat, you lose.
Yep.
You've got to keep getting better. You can't sit there and say, we're going to bring back the same roster we had last year and we're going to make another run at it. Well, good luck. You know,
it's like recruiting. It's like college. If you think that this one recruiting class you got,
you take 1 year, you have one bad year.
Yeah, you're going backwards. You've constantly got to keep bringing in that talent. I 100% agree with you there. Yeah. And that's why I like that the league is going younger and bringing in better, younger talent that's hungry, that wants to play. But is it a shame to miss out on the guys like the chance to be able to get the Rooneys of the world or Ibrahimovic's of the world, those guys to come over here to be able to see? Like, because, like I said, we can't afford to fly to Everton to go watch Rooney play, but it's like to be able to watch that kind of class talent, even if it's at the end of its career, isn't that still good for soccer, especially the average fan?
Well, tell Ryanair to cheapen their flights and fly here, and tell Norwegian to fly into Atlanta, because you can fly from Norwegian to England for like $300. The thing that gets me about all of it is there's still a place for those guys, but they don't have to be your cornerstone. And as Atlanta has made it clear now, you can build a team and build an entire club and a fan base without having that aging veteran. And other clubs have done it too. Atlanta's just done it the flashiest manner most recently, so that's going to be on the top of a lot of people's minds. You can do this by bringing in, you know, just great, young, exciting talent that wins. And it's kind of that argument of, you know, what's bigger? Is it having the European star, or is it having a bunch of young guys that win? Would you rather, I mean, are you going to do better with the aging European star and being good? Maybe not necessarily great, maybe great, but really good. Or would you rather be really good with a lot of young stars and then they grow into the marketing monsters that veteran is, like Bastian Schweinsteiger up there in Chicago, who just signed another 1 year deal.
Saw that as well.
Yeah, and that's a great move for them, because Chicago was such a mess 2 years ago. This turnaround last year was great for them. Now they have done that, and they're bringing in more guys. They've kept David Akamin. They've kind of stood pat, but they've got other moves lined up. Janino's gone back, I believe, to Mexico. I believe that's where he came from. But you lock down Dax McCarty. Like, and they stood pat in some ways, but it worked for them because it wasn't just standing pat. It's they locked down Dax McCarty for a long time. They brought back David Akam when you thought David Akam was probably going to go over to Europe. So they've got other moves to make and other places to improve, but they still got that aging star, but it works. He fits into the system. And I think you've got to make sure that aging veteran, like a Rooney, like a Zlatan, they have to fit. You can't just bring them in because we're going to put...
Because of the name.
Yeah,
you're right.
Exactly.
And I think you hit the nail on the head there when it comes to... You just don't want to bring in a name for a name's sake. Unless you have like this club that's just going to struggle. You're one of those organizations that's about making money rather than putting the most quality team out there. All right, let me put a name out there to put butts in the seats. Like, if that's your business model, hey, I'm not going to knock you, because at the end of the day, it's your money, not my money. But like you said, if you want to put something that's competitive out there that you see like a lot of these now... all these teams are actually putting out there, then you need to make sure that the guy that you're picking, if you're going to grab a Rooney or a slot, or, you know, Ibrahimovic of the world, you want to make sure that, hey, he fits the style that you want him to do, and you're not asking him to do something different where all of a sudden now it's like he looks like Michael Jordan at the Wizards. It's like, okay, you don't have that game to be able to break people down and go to the hole no more. You got that old man fadeaway game. That's all you got. It's got to work with the style office. We're not running the triangle here. This doesn't work here.
We're running four corners.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like if you're bringing in a guy like that like you said, Zlatan, who wants to be at the top of the box and wants people to feed him the ball so he can work, and we're a pass-based-oriented offense, that ain't going to work. And so I think at the end of the day, like you said, if they fit what you're trying to do, then it makes sense. Because I think at the end of the day, the most important thing is, can you produce – especially as a coach – can you produce for me? Can I get all the ounces of everything you got? You can get it to me and get goals. At the end of the day, if you can do that for me, I can find a place for you.
Yeah, and we've seen some teams do it well. Montreal did it well a couple of years ago with Didier Drogba, and that one was really weird at the end when he was in, he was out. He maybe yes, maybe no, but they found a way to get him on the field in limited time because his body couldn't really do the whole 90-minute thing anymore, and he was coming in popping hat tricks in 30 minutes.
Right.
Because he's still talented, his body just couldn't do it, and they had the right fit for him, and even beyond that, it wasn't just the right fit, it was using him the right way in limiting his time and knowing exactly when to deploy him.
Yeah. And like you said, it goes back to coaching.
Yeah.
Understanding your players, understand what they can and can't do, understand what you want and what you need from them. And then them. And I think the most important thing is, especially for these older guys, understanding that they're not what they used to be.
Yeah.
And I need to understand what I am now and how can that affect my team going forward. So I think you're 100% right. When we talk about the old guys, let's talk about the young guys. We finally got some news out of ATL United 2 about we got a new coach, Scott Donnelly, coming out. He used to be on the under 17 club. I know you did a lot of looking at kind of what some of the stuff he's done to get to this level. And it seems like he has a vast background when it comes to working with the youngsters.
Yeah, he does. Really impressive resume so far.
He's worked with Carlton, he's worked with Goslin, he's worked with, you know, Grace, he's worked with these guys. So he kind of knows some of the younger guys that he'll be working out there to deal with because they were all on the United States national team for the unders just recently.
Yeah, and he got lured away from SIU Edwardsville, Southern Illinois University. Southern Illinois University Edwardsville is a really solid program that a lot of people haven't heard of. But, I mean, if you followed college soccer, you may have. That's a national championship caliber program. They've only had four coaches in their history, and they've got a soccer Hall of Famer that put that program together in the first place. But he was at Washington State, Suwannee University of the South over there on Mount Eagle, just north of us, north of Chattanooga, Mars Hill, Northern Illinois, then SIU. And then he was in his first year at SIU, hadn't even coached a game yet, and U.S. soccer came for him. And it was one of those things that the press release, especially, I mean, whether it was a mutual split or not, it was handled well by all parties because the press release out of SIU Edwardsville was very much this was something that they came to him and he could not say no for, and we wish him the best of luck because he got to work with these kids and he's been really solid everywhere he's been as an assistant in terms of finding talent, scouting it, and then developing it. And that's exactly what you want with Atlanta United 2 right now, because you're not so much worried about trophies. You're trying to develop the future for the club.
It's funny you say that because I saw that article on Dirty South Soccer. Shout out. And if you guys don't get a chance, definitely go on Dirty South Soccer. Have some amazing stuff, especially when it comes to United and round soccer in general. And that was one of the topics. And trying to get fans to understand that, hey, at the end of the day, it's changing the concept when we go to games expecting to win and expecting to put the best product out there when at sometimes we're about development and getting these guys ready for the next level. So I ask you, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because if I'm spending my hard-earned money to take my family up there, I'm trying to win as a fan. Me personally, if I just spent, you know, $60-$70 to take the guys out here, I'm really looking at it for development. I'm looking at it for a winning point of view, right? We're Americans. Don't we play to win?
We do. The thing is with USL, as individual teams, that is a thing. When it's an alphabet soup club like this where it's a two, it's more like a triple A. When you go to Gwinnett Braves, you go for a good time. And you might see wins, but you're going to see guys that need to be developed. And that doesn't mean you're not going to try and win. They're going to go out there and they're going to try and win. They're probably going to win some games just because they're going to try stuff. And it's going to be fun and chaotic. They've got a lot of insanely talented players. It's just a matter of piecing them together. But we're going to see things get kind of weird probably at times. You're going to see guys play in different places, different tactics. That's what I'm really excited to see is tactically it might be a little different from Atlanta United, but spiritually it's going to need to be along the same line so that when guys get their time in at Atlanta United 2, they're spiritually along the same path as Atlanta United is. So when they come in, the philosophy isn't a 180 for them.
Right, exactly. And I think, and, you know, it's funny you mentioned the AAA because I think that's the great comparison when I look at this because I think of, and people here that are probably, you know,
Gwinnett, I usually bristle at AAA references for USL.
But, exactly. He's like, because you think about the Gwinnett Braves are for me back on the Pacific Northwest, you would have the Tacoma Rainiers and they would be always competing for championships, but in September, you have all these call-ups that want to play for the Mariners, that want to get their chance for the big club. And so it's like, it's the whole, are we trying to win a championship or I'm trying to get these guys ready for the big stage?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the tough things as a fan, because you're like, man, I came here to win. I'm like, I understand that you're trying to, you know, get bigger and do bigger and better things and be able to make your growth, but hell, bro, I spent $50, man. I'm trying to get a W here. So I think that's a tough thing as a fan mentality going forward when it comes to these kind of matches.
Absolutely. And fans will have to make peace with that. And I'm really curious. We don't know ticket prices yet. I'll be curious what ticket prices are.
Yeah.
They'll be competitive, I'm assuming, but it should be a good time either way. USL isn't really a AAA, and you'll get a lot of argument in that direction. And because you've got a lot of independent clubs, they exist in USL as Division II. They're out there to win trophies. Yep. They're not out there to develop for people. And that's one of the reasons you saw Atlanta go this direction, even though they had a really good partnership, Charleston Battery. That was a great partnership. Charleston was able to play a good bit of the kids for Atlanta, but Charleston's out there trying to win trophies for themselves. They're not a farm team, and they should not sacrifice the opportunity to win trophies to be a farm team for somebody else. So Atlanta can build their own like this and they can treat it like that to develop players over just going after trophies.
And I think that's another, and it kind of gets back to the name, where, like you said, when you make it Atlanta United 2, it kind of lets you know that, hey, this is what the end game is. Like you said, it's getting these guys developed to get to the pitch to be on the up down with the starters. And so if you have its own division, its own thing, then you kind of make its own thing. Well, it's not about Atlanta United then. It's about you guys being your own entity and kind of winning. But when you make it Atlanta United 2, hey, you're number 2, and we're focused on number 1. So at the end of the day, try to get you guys as better as possible to get you guys out here with the starters. So, like I said, I'm excited either way. The first match, we will find out, it's going to be February 10th in Nashville. It looks like it's going to be a sellout. I mean, I was looking on Ticketmaster. I saw a bunch of people tweet out, like, no tickets available. Like,
you can go on secondary markets. God save you.
Yeah, right? It's like you're going to spend more in fees than you did for the tickets. So, so definitely going to be a lot of Five Stripes heading down that way in February. Should be a lot of fun. I hate that I'm actually going to be out of town, being in California that weekend. So, but I'll definitely be watching it. I know somebody will be streaming it live somewhere on some kind of device that I'll be able to watch it. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then real quick, also, you kind of hinted a little bit, depending on if you're listening to today or tomorrow, that the Super Draft is coming up. Los Angeles, of course, has the first pick. And they said they're beginning a lot of offers to kind of swap. So it's kind of like the NFL draft. You know, are you happy at being at one? Or, you know, it depends on the package. Or, you know, I'm willing to listen.
I think you hit it right there. It depends on the package. Because there were offers last year for Minnesota and for Atlanta to see if they wanted to move Atlanta. At one point, ended up almost moving, I believe. And then you had Portland jump up to grab Jeremy Babise, who was one of the best young talents last year. You had Minnesota taking a Boudin Lottie number one. And Dunlottie ended up really coming on in the second half of the year and having an amazing year. If he'd have played like that the entire season, that would have been your rookie of the year last year, in my opinion. The thing with Dunlottie is there were just times where he just disappears.
Yep.
And there are times where he is unstoppable. And it's just a matter of fixing
being
that.
Young and that whole thing of kind of figuring out your game. And when
there's a lot of holes they have to fix in Minnesota, but they have a U.S. national team caliber striker up there in Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got a young, exciting striker. They've got the offensive weapons up the middle. They still got a lot of holes to patch up there, but they could be a lot of fun in terms of, oh, we're going to try and score goals. We might give up 5, but yeah, we'll probably have 4 really exciting ones in the process. Maybe 5. I don't know.
They'll be Liverpool.
Yeah.
So,
but I wouldn't be shocked if we end up seeing more offers come in. And it's not just that the LAFC move. Look for other moves in those top 5s. People trying to jockey and people trying to figure out what they want. Because Atlanta getting the rookie of the year at 8, that doesn't happen a lot.
Right.
Like, you're looking for those top 3, 4, 5 spots. Also, shout out to the NWSL, the Women's League. I described it this morning as it was basically a ladder match, but the ladder was on fire. They had their draft today, and it was just moves all over the place, like 3-team trades, 2-4-team trades, constantly just moving along and setting each other on fire. So if that is the primer we get for tomorrow, then MLS will officially be in fuego.
There it is. So, like I said, we'll tune in next week. Like I said, we'll recap the draft of what we saw. Hopefully the Barco will officially be here, and hopefully there'll be some kind of rollout that's planned. We saw how many people did show up for the Darnton Nagbe reveal in the signing, so I just can think how madhouse is going to be when they set up this whole. And I think you had even tweeted out, they should do like the European squads, open stadium up, do a whole big old thing, let, you know, 20, 30,000 be able to come there, because you know, you see how this fan base travels. I mean, they'll show up. If you give them the ability to show up, they'll show up in droves.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm excited. I hope that's what happens. And I hope they do show up. And then it's just absolutely bonkers. Put everybody in the supporters section. Bring him out there. Do your thing.
And make him feel like, man, this is what's going to be like every game, bro. It's going to be even better.
Yeah,
it's
going to be stupid.
Just wait when 70,000 are screaming your name, bro, instead of 25,000. So like I said, so we'll definitely hopefully have some more news on that note. Like I said, talk a little bit about the draft and how that went down. And then as we get closer to February 10th, Nashville, we'll try to see hopefully if they can send us out to some of these games pretty soon. And then we know we have had meetings that there's definitely going to be some news coming up when it comes to Atlanta United and the actual broadcast. So definitely stick to follow us. Like, again, I'm at CCV929. And you have Jared at Jared_Smith. You guys can definitely follow us for all the news and notes when it comes to Atlanta United and comes to soccer news. And so we'll definitely have some more news, especially about the United broadcast coming up here, hopefully within a month. So, Jay, I will talk to you soon, bro. You be safe, and peace out, man.
Peace out. Stay safe.